few moments. Thank the Lord for the good day thus far. Amen. Thank the Lord for the service and the preaching. It's my pastor, Brother Wade Huntley, who's been pastoring soon in the same church for 54 years. It said down through time, preaching is the hub of the wheel. Amen. It is the hub of the wheel. It is the preaching of the word that will get the job done. And I thank the Lord for that which we have already heard in these fine men that have already preached. And I pray that the Lord would again speak to our hearts and our lives. It's an honor to be here, to be in this pulpit. I don't get invited to a lot of places one time, even fewer places twice. And I don't know that I've ever been invited anywhere three times. But Caldwell County, I know, has the three strikes and you're out rules. So this will be the last time probably you have to put up with me. But it is a joy. Joy to be saved. Joy to be around men that love God and God's good word. Amen. The church at Philippi has often been referred to as the church of joy or the fellowship of joy. This little letter, four chapters, 101 verses, although it is small in size, it is certainly not small in message. The little book of Philippians that I feel like the Lord would have us spend our days in together, falls my lot to stand before you, has often been called the letter of joy, the epistle of joy. It is by far Paul's most personal letter. Alexander McLaren said, it just gushes love. I like that. I believe we could add, it just gushes joy. As you read these chapters, the love of God warms your heart. The joy of the Lord will stir in your heart and in your soul. It deals with, I believe, one of the key missing ingredients in our churches today and in our lives today, and that is joy. There is a lot of identifying marks that ought to identify us as believers. And there are many that are missing in our lives today. But one of them is this thing called joy. I'm mindful that we as believers, yes, we are to endure. In fact, in this book, Paul will say, even here in chapter 4, in verse 1, that we're to stand fast in the Lord. How you and I need to stand for God and how we need to endure. But I'm glad to report this morning there's more to this thing than endurance. There is enjoyment. It is possible this morning to enjoy the Lord and the good things of God. Now, I'm not talking this morning about happiness, and I'll certainly not stand here and tell you that God is interested in you being happy. The Colgate kid and Pantsuit Joyce and Coffee Copeland and all that other crowd, they'll tell you that. I will tell you He's interested in you being holy, but I want to tell you this morning, I believe God is desirous of our enjoying joy and enjoying Himself. After all, He preached it. I mean, the Lord stood and preached there in John 15 and said, I have spoken unto you these words that you might have my joy and that your joy might be full. Why, He prayed that we'd have His joy. He's promised we'd have His joy. He has provided His joy for you and for me. But the truth is this morning, there are few Baptists, there are few church folks that are enjoying joy. I mean, most Baptists that you meet, they look depressed, they look defeated, they look discouraged, and then they open their mouth and they confirm every bit of things you see. I was in a preacher's fellowship a while back, and I mean, they look depressed, and when they got up to preach, they had an axe to grind and a gripe to give. This thing of joy is a missing ingredient in our churches and in our services. Oh my, Oliver Wendell Holmes said this. He said, I might have entered the ministry if I had not known so many clergymen that had looked so much like undertakers. Robert Louis Stevenson kept a diary of most of his life. And on one day he made this entry that was somewhat surprising for him, and it seemed to be an unusual entry. But he noted this. He says, I have been to church today and am not depressed. Oh my, oh my, joy is missing in our songs. Joy is missing in our preaching. And joy is missing in our lives this day. I read of a church, the preacher was trying to preach on worship, was trying to encourage worship, and he got a bunch of helium-filled balloons and handed everybody a balloon and told them that in the service, when they felt joy and when they felt worship, they were to release it. Now, I'll tell you, that's all stupid, and if you'll see me after the service, I'll tell you something else that is. Had I been there, I'd like to confess, I'd like to have popped everybody's balloons. But as I read the illustration, as I read the story, what struck me was that at the end of the service, 75% of the people were still holding on to their balloon. Oh my, I know a lot of Baptists that don't even have a balloon today. I know a lot of Baptists that have some that refuse to let it go. Oh my, God desires that you and I enjoy joy. Now, if you're saved this morning, you have joy. For joy is a person. If you're saved this morning, you have Christ. You have joy. But I want to ask you this morning, are you enjoying joy? Are you enjoying Christ? I read just one verse as a text this morning as a springboard. If you'd like to stand again with us in honor and reverence of the Word of God, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's so short, it's so brief. Let's read it again together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Father, we know you will honor your word for your name's sake. Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word of God that has already been expounded. Lord, we thank you that you have already been exalted, God. Lord, I pray in the remaining moments of this morning service on this Monday morning that God would see again you and God would see again your joy. But God, we'd experience it. But God, beyond that, we would enjoy you and enjoy the joy that you purchased for us that day at Calvary. Help us, oh Lord, how to be sensitive to your voice in these moments. In your good name we pleaded and pray. Amen and amen. I remind you this morning, I'm not interested in this thing of happiness this morning. That's based on happenstance. That's literally where the idea comes from. The word means, in essence, that which is of hap is that which is of chance, and happenings are based on things that happen by chance. I'm talking about something far, far deeper, something far more real than just happiness. Of course, you know, Charlie Brown defines happiness as a warm puppy. Well, if you don't have a puppy, you're out of luck. Or if you got a puppy and your puppy makes a spot on the carpet, you're out of luck. No, no, no. I'm talking about something that is real, something that's not shallow, something that's not superficial. I'm talking about something that's not external, but internal, the very joy of the Lord Himself. Oh, my. This thing of joy, I remind you, it comes from the very nature of God Himself. Joy is the gift of God, produced by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not talking this morning about something you and I work up. No, I'm talking about something that'll work you up and will stir your heart and your soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the book of Philippians calls on us simply to enjoy joy. To enjoy joy. Oh my, oh my. Paul says that the kingdom of God, it's not meat and it's not drink, but it is righteousness and it is peace and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Peter says that we're to know Him and rejoice in Him with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Oh my. I love what one old writer I came across, how he defined joy. He said it is heart ease. I like that.
It's heart ease. I got up early this morning and went to a little old white blackboard house and knelt beside a couch with a dear widow woman now that for the last 63 years has lived with a man and loved God and served God and sang for God and stood for God. And we wept there and I prayed with her and she tapped him on the shoulder when we got up and said, "I'll see you after a while, honey." And then she's concerned that the man of God would have a cup of coffee. And then she's concerned that I'd have time to get over here to preach to you this morning. Oh, her heart was broken. Oh, her heart was hurting. But there was an ease that was there. There was a joy that was there. Her world had been turned upside down, but the joy of the Lord was there in the midst of everything. A bit of it. Oh my, I'm talking about enjoying joy. Now what is it? What is it? Everybody else has got a definition, so let me give you mine. Joy is the confident assurance. It's the confident assurance that God is in control and all is well. No matter the circumstance, no matter the difficulty, no matter the problem. Joy, the confident assurance that God is in control and that everything is well, no matter what the circumstance, difficulty, or problem is. Oh my, that dear lady's husband wasn't even called yet. Hadn't even become rigid yet. And oh my, she is already thanking God that they set up last night past 2 o'clock, rejoicing about the good things of God. Got home from church yesterday morning, wanted to know everything I preached. He wanted for her to tell him every word that I had said. Oh my, in the midst of sorrow, there was joy that was sustaining her. She was enjoying joy in the midst of death this morning. I love what John MacArthur says. He says, "Joy is the flag that flies on the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there." Oh, Lord of mercy. As Brother Rayton Puckett says, it's good to be at the Father's house when the Father's at home and when He lets you know He is at home. That's what joy is. Joy is a manifestation of the life of God Himself in the hearts and in the lives of every believers. So I pray this morning and in these few services together that the Holy Ghost would help us learn to enjoy joy. To enjoy joy, joy, rejoicing. That word, that theme is found over 130 times in the New Testament. 16 times in these 4 short chapters alone. I'll not read all 16, but walk down through here with me a moment or two. As Brother Safer's already said, we are at a Bible conference, so let's study the Bible. Look down here with me. Let's go down here to chapter 1. How about down all the way down there in verse 18? He says, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice. Look down with me in verse 26. He says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound like that's just trying to endure. Just doesn't sound like Paul said, just trying to get through the service the best way you can. No, he's saying enjoy joy, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Let's go to chapter 2. How about verse 16 and following there? He says, "Oh, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Verse 17. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of faith, I joy." Paul's talking about giving his life, paying the ultimate price. And he says, if it happens that way, I'll do it with joy. He says, "I joy and rejoice with you all." Verse 18, "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, Finally, my brethren, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Our text, chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice. And in case you miss it, let me say one more time again, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. It literally means to joy and to keep on joying. To joy and to keep on enjoying joy, if you please. Oh my. Now my message this morning, that which I want to deal with for a moment or two and then I'll be done, is a simple, simple thought. I want to say something about the source of joy. The source of joy. It is not dependent upon circumstance, but it is dependent upon the Christ. It is not dependent upon situations, but it is dependent upon the Savior. No, not circumstance, not things that happen, but it hinges upon that one who is over everything that does happen and who is in control of everything that does happen. I remind you, Ephesians 1:11 is a verse you ought to know, a verse you ought to underline. If you underline, a verse you ought to memorize, that He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. But what is the source of joy? What is it dependent upon this morning? Well, let me right quick tell you what it's not dependent upon. It's not dependent upon the size of the congregation. We know from Acts chapter 16, when Paul makes his trip to Philippi the first time on that second missionary journey, we know from Acts 16 a little bit about the birth here of the church at Philippi. God speaks to Paul in a great vision. God speaks to Paul to come over. God calls Paul to come over into Macedonia. And God Himself, by speaking and in a vision, gives Paul a clear message, a clear direction to come over into Macedonia. And he winds up there at Philippi. Now you'd think that if God Himself would so speak, you would think that if God Himself would so direct the man of God, that when the man of God got over there to Philippi, that he'd find a large church and a large congregation. But he didn't find any of that. In fact, he doesn't even find a church. In fact, he doesn't even find a dead synagogue. By Jewish law, by Jewish tradition, they were required to have 10 men to constitute a synagogue. They weren't even 10 devout Jewish Orthodox Jews around there. There's just a little handful of women that morning down there by the riverbank trying to seek after God. And God sent Paul down there. Not the large church, not even a church, but the man of God went where God said go. And the man of God preached the word of God. And God opened the heart of Lydia. Oh my, that encourages me. And I remind you that if God doesn't open the heart and open the soul there to the gospel, nobody will ever be saved. I remind you, everybody Jesus preached to didn't get saved. Everybody Jesus preached to, the Holy Ghost didn't open their heart. But here's what I want you to see this morning. The joy, I mean, listen. This letter, as I said, is gushing with joy. It's full of love. It's full of joy. But when Paul gets down there, he doesn't find a large congregation. He doesn't even find a congregation. He just finds some women down there. Oh my, joy is not dependent upon the size of our congregation. And could I say, it's not dependent upon the size of our ministry. Oh no, 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 no. Could also say it's not dependent upon approval. Paul hadn't been down there long. Lydia's gotten in, and the little damsel's running around trying to aggravate him. And the devil's no doubt behind it, and the demons that possess her are behind it. But I'm glad God can handle every aggravation of the devil with just one word. And oh my, Paul delivers that little old damsel from demon possession. But her handlers get all bent out of shape because of it. And they've lost their money, and they've lost their income, and they begin to spread lies about Paul. And Paul is beaten and finally here thrown in jail, awaiting trial. Paul didn't go down there to find a big church. Paul didn't go down there to find everybody saying, thank God, Paul, we're glad you finally got here. We've been praying you'd come. Oh, Paul, we want to follow you. No, no, no. There was no approval. Not just that were no congregation. There was not a congregation. There wasn't even any approval in the community. But Paul had joy. But you see, joy is not dependent upon the size of the congregation. Joy is not dependent upon the approval of the community. Joy is not dependent upon ease. Paul's going to be arrested. Paul's going to be under house arrest. And for about the next 2 years, he's going to spend 24-7. 365, 24-7, he's going to spend chained to Roman guard. Now, I do not believe Paul is in the deepest dungeon at this time. That's going to come later, I believe. But he's under house arrest. But I want to tell you, that was not a 5-star hotel. No, he wasn't free to come and go as he pleased. No, he was suffering there at the hands of Rome and at the hands of Satan. Caesar had placed him under house arrest. I mean, he knew no ease. But listen here this morning. He doesn't discover joy in that prison house. He doesn't discover joy under house arrest. He doesn't discover joy in that situation because he already had joy and he already knew joy in that situation. It just afforded him one more opportunity to enjoy joy and to manifest the manifested presence of God. Oh my, remind you, those Roman soldiers, I tell you, they weren't the nicest of men. No, they in fact, this is a part of their Praetorian Guard. I mean, this is the elite of the elite. You don't get to be a part of the Praetorian Guard. You don't get to be a part of this elite group, if you please, by being nice. No, no, no. Paul didn't go down there and serve with ease. Yet this man knows joy. This man is expressing joy. This man, as he writes to those Philippians, is magnifying the joy of the Lord. Even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances, even when approval is not his from the community, even when the government and those around him are against him. But could I add this? Joy is not dependent upon earthly support. While he's down there under house arrest, the brethren get bent out of shape and the brethren get jealous. Now you'd think for the man of God to come to town and Lydia to get saved and a demon-possessed woman to get delivered and even the Philippian jailer and his whole household to get in. You'd think they'd thank God that God had let such a man come by and minister in their community. But no, that's not the attitude. Look here with me, chapter 1, verse 15. I mean, many of the brethren are seeking to add to Paul's burdens. They're not there to lift his burdens, carry his burdens. They want to add to his burdens. He says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. I mean, if anybody could have been an encouragement, if anybody should have been able to be a help to the pastor, to the man of God, Paul, who's now founded and started this church, it might have been some other pastor, some of the brethren, but no. Instead of helping ease his burden, they're seeking to add to his burden. Yeah. He has no earthly support. He is soon going to send Epaphroditus back to Philippi. He is soon going to send Timothy to Philippi. He's soon going to find himself all alone. In fact, we know years later, when he is, I believe, in that deepest dungeon of the prison, And Onesiphorus comes to find him. Onesiphorus has trouble finding Paul. Now, can you believe that? I'll tell you, that blows my mind. That Onesiphorus has trouble finding such a man of God, such a man who had preached, such a man who had penned a large portion of the New Testament. But oh my, he had a hard time finding him because everybody had deserted him and turned his back on him. And as I said, he sends on their Epaphroditus back to Philippi. He sends Timothy on to Philippi eventually. And physically, literally, physically, he was physically alone except some old burly Roman soldier on the end of the chains. Yet Paul knew joy in the midst of every bit of it. So I'm saying to you this morning, this thing of joy and the source of joy, it is not outward circumstances. In fact, it's not one thing external. But it is everything that is eternal and eternal. So then here's the message this morning. It's a simple one, and I'm soon done. The source of joy. Oh, it's not circumstances. No, it's not situations. But it is Christ the Savior Himself. In case you've never noticed it, this letter begins and ends with the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to end this Bible conference service this morning like it began when I got here, Brother Jesse, preaching on Christ. I want to end up preaching on Christ. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. He starts out talking about Christ, starts out writing about Christ. How does he end up? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You all know why there's so much joy in the book of Philippians, in spite of the situation, in spite of the circumstances, from beginning to end and all in between. It's Christ, 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 Christ. For He is the source of our joy. Oh my, remind you, He's our life. Look here, chapter 1, verse 21. He's our life. For me to live is Christ. Not a larger church, not a larger congregation, Not an acceptable ministry, not the approval of the brethren. No, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's our life. Look at chapter 2. He's our mind. He's our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Our life and our mind is to be the life and the mind of Christ. Look here, chapter 3, verse 10. He's our goal. He's our goal. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable into His death. You want to know why Paul lived a million miles above happiness? His goal wasn't having a big church or more in church. His goal wasn't being accepted or being approved by. His goal was just Christ, knowing Christ and knowing more and more and more of Christ. Right. Now, if you set your goal as having a large number in Sunday school, when the bottom drops out, or when vacation time comes, you'll have to settle for happiness. And if your goal is to be approved by the brethren and have the applause of the community, when you cross somebody the wrong way, and when you don't recognize somebody that thinks they ought to be recognized, you'll have to settle for happiness. But you don't have to settle this morning for happiness. There is a realm, there is a sphere that is a million miles above that, and that is living for joy, and that is enjoying joy. That is when Christ Himself is your life, when Christ Himself is your mind, and when Christ Himself is your goal. Paul said that I may know Christ, and
Now everything else can fall where it may. Look here, chapter 4, verse 13. Christ is our strength. Christ is our strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm talking this morning, my thought is simple. The source of joy is Christ. Amen. Now you want to know why a multitude of Baptist preachers, and you want to know why a multitude of Baptist members are sitting on church pews and stood in pulpits yesterday, are miserable and unhappy. Every now and then they might have a big number, and every now and then they might have a good offering, and every now and then they might get invited somewhere, and every now and then somebody might say good job, and they have a little bit of happiness. You all know why a multitude are living in that realm. It's because you and I have forgotten that our life is to be His life, and His life is to be our life. The source of joy is Christ. Is Christ. I mean, listen, Paul identifies himself as the slave of Christ, the bondservant, the slave of Christ. He doesn't even mention that he's an apostle here. He doesn't mention all those other churches he had founded here. He's the slave of Christ. In fact, look here. He doesn't even refer to them as a church. I know they're a church. I got my theology right. I know they're a church. I'm a church man. I'm for the church. But Paul doesn't refer to them as the church at Philippi. He says saints that are in Christ. Because I'll tell you what Paul knew, that everything hinged and everything centered in the Lord Jesus Christ if there was going to be joy unspeakable, full of glory. He's the slave of Christ. He's the servant of Christ. They're the saints in Christ. His bonds, His chains, they are the bonds and the chains of Christ. And when somebody says, Paul, what do you want to know? He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I'm saying this morning that the source of joy is Christ, is God. Because you see, it is His nature. It is His nature. Joy stems from the nature of God. Joy comes from God. Listen to Psalm 4. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. If circumstances put it there, circumstances can take it. If situations bring your happiness, situations can take your happiness. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. And I'm here to tell you, when He opens a door, no man can close it. And when He closes a door, no man can open it. And when He puts joy and gladness in, no man can take it. How about this psalm, Psalm 16? In Thy presence is fullness of joy. Sounds to me like the source of joy. Sounds to me like the subject of joy. Sounds to me like the sphere of joy is Christ. Oh my, one other reference. Listen to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15 and 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Oh Lord, Brother Rick's done give us an illustration. Our Brother Rule a while ago. And I want to tell you, you can come this week and the book of Malachi may plow up every cater you got and every hill you got. But oh my, when the word of God is preached and when the word of God is expounded, the joy of the Lord will always come behind. Here Jeremiah says, Thy word was found, and I did eat it. Thy word was found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Oh, hear me this morning. Joy is not dependent upon circumstances. Joy is not dependent upon situations. Joy is not dependent upon feelings. for it is far more than an emotion. I love what John Phillips says about the book of Philippians. He says, Paul has not given us an equation to analyze. He says he's given us an emotion to express. I'm not quarreling with that. I understand what he means. But at the same time, joy is not a feeling. No, that's temporary. Feelings are depend upon happiness. But joy, joy, joy is the life and the nature of God. And it's dependent wholly and solely upon Him. I'm trying to preach this morning about the source of joy. Someone, that preacher, I don't know about that. Well, in closing, could I give you one illustration that ought to settle it in case you're still wavering? Our Lord Himself, looked upon the cross and viewed it as joy. He viewed the cross as joy. You may have a wayward youngin'. Your marriage may be falling apart. Your church may be about to blow apart at the seams. And a million other applications and illustrations we could give. But our Lord Himself even viewed bloody Calvary as an opportunity for joy. Because joy is nothing more than the confidence, assurance that God is in control and all is well regardless of what's going on. But its source is Christ. In Christ alone. Him this morning, to have joy and to enjoy joy, you must be in Christ. I thought of it earlier when our brother was mentioning the Buddhist. No Buddhist speaks of being in Buddha. No Muslim speaks of being in Muhammad. No Mormon speaks of being in Joseph Smith. But oh Lord, what a thought. You and I that are saved, we're in Christ. And we can speak of being in Christ. And the joy of the Lord is our. No wonder Paul said, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Because the source of joy is Christ. Christ is mentioned 18 times in this first chapter alone. Paul's life is now the life of Christ. Again and again through this little short book of four chapters, he's pointing again and again and again and again and again to Christ. And therein is how you and I can enjoy joy. Brother Rick said a word about the rest of the book of Malachi. Hey, this morning you can come hear the rest of the messages all week long. But unless you are in Christ, you will have no joy and you will know no joy. I'll tell you, you don't have to settle for happiness. There's something more real. There's something more eternal. There's something that will sustain you in every hour and time of life. The source of joy. I don't know. I've been preaching for over 5 months now out of Philippians and I'm not even halfway. But I don't have any message. I don't have any outline entitled The Secret of Joy. A lot of books out there by that title. They're sellers. If you attach secret to something, it seems to sell or seems to preach, I guess. Maybe I could say. There ain't any secret to this thing. Joy is His life. Amen. Having joy and enjoying joy is knowing Him. And knowing Him in His fullness. Father, would You take the words from the book of Philippians? Would they swell up in our heart and in our life? Father, on a Monday morning of a Bible conference, I don't know what's going on in hearts and in lives. I don't know the situations been behind. I know not the situations that are ahead. Lord, not for anybody else, not for myself. Lord, we often talk about not knowing what tomorrow holds, but Lord, the truth is we don't even know what the rest of this day holds. But God, I'm glad our joy is not dependent upon any of it. It's dependent upon You and You alone.
Oh, Father, we've heard one message this morning. We've heard from Brother Jesse. We've heard from Brother Rick that it's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. Father, we live in substandard. Lord, we're settling for happiness when we can get in on joy. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to come to that place of heart ease where our hearts are clean and our hands are clean, that the heart ease of joy might be ours. Lord, thank you for the preaching of the Word of God this day that has pointed us to you and your joy. Anything of any value, anything of any credit that has been accomplished in these last moments and in this service, all is because of you. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Brother Allen.